Have you ever yearned for the love of a father? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Ignacio Pisano, who yearned for love from a father figure, and he found that in a gang.
I don't know about you, but I have always yearned for the love of my father. And growing up, I didn't have dad around, and I did get to talk to him on the phone, and he would send me stuff for my birthday or at Christmas. So that's better than what some people, you know, had. Yeah. But I yearned to see him. I yearned to have a hug from him, to be tucked in. And I have found personally, even as an adult, that I just want to have my dad.
Yeah.
We were at this dinner the other day, and there was this father and daughter singing together. And it brought tears to my eyes just seeing that, how amazing it is for someone to be raised by a father and a good father like this woman had.
Well, I think fathers play such a significant role in all of our lives. I remember myself growing up, you know, really wanting to be really taught by my father, or to have a father figure. That it came to a point where, especially when my parents split, I started really, not really realizing it, but then I was always looking for a love from a father figure. Someone like, hey, is someone going to kind of teach me the ropes of life and kind of, you know, be like, master, you know, kind of like that. I don't know. It's
how to build things.
We're all looking for that.
Maybe go fishing or hunting or something.
How to act in certain situations. And we all are looking for a father figure. And there's a lot, even maybe listening right now, who don't have a father figure around or a good father figure role model to literally look up to. And what I really love about the Bible, because it says in Matthew chapter 23, verses 9, it says, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. I really love that verse because God really is trying to tell us that that yearning that we have deep in our hearts, it's really a yearning for him. He wants to be our father. And it's not just like this distant relationship with God. It's like this close relationship where he's your master. He's your teacher. He's the one who shows you the ropes of life. And not only that, he's with you and he'll never leave you.
And that's so good, because we can place that desire in the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I want to be fathered by you. Teach me your ways, God. And I found that even with my life, that when I'm doing a project that I don't know how to do, I ask the Lord and I get these ideas, and it's from him. He'll guide us.
Well, that's how you cook so good.
It's all in prayer.
It's all, well, but it's true, you know, and because even people who have great fathers, there's still something missing. And with our earthly fathers, even if they're good, there's still something more. It's like, what else?
Void, well, a missing piece.
Yeah, well, my father didn't give me this. Well, it's like, they can't. They can only give a certain part because they're not perfect. But God the Father provides you the perfect fatherly love that you've been looking for. You just got to get to know him through his son, Jesus Christ.
So if you're yearning for the love of a father, I encourage you to call out to the Lord and say, be the father I've never had. I need you, God. I need a father figure in my life, and he will fill that void and he'll fill you up. Let's hear from our next guest after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week with the help of Insurance One Agency and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Are you a church, ministry, or nonprofit organization that needs insurance? If so, Brandon McCrary of Insurance One Agency has the expertise and experience to help you. Call Brandon today at 214-220-1118 to get the insurance you need to protect your organization's mission. That's Brandon McCrary at Insurance One Agency, 214-220-1118.
We are excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Light, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Ignacio Pizzano, and at 9 years old, he joined a gang. 15 years old, he shot and killed someone, and we're going to find out what happened. Let's welcome to the show, Ignacio. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about your upbringing. I know you grew up as a Christian, but at 9 years old, you joined a gang. What made you get into a gang?
My mom brought my father into my life when I was about 6 years old. And when he came into our life, the gang brought a mentality, brought drugs and alcohol into our home. And our home went from a peaceful, pretty much Christian home to a home of a bunch of havoc, to the point where I wanted to get away so I would go on the streets. And I started realizing that the people on the streets were showing me more love and respect than they got at home.
Mm.
So I started hanging with them, doing whatever I had to do to get to know what the street life was about.
Wow. So here you were at 9 years old. Did they beat you in, or were you just included because you were younger?
I never got jumped in. I just started hanging around with the neighborhood kids. I was pretty much accepted because even though I was the youngest kid in the neighborhood, I was what they call a stand-up guy, even though I was that young. So they kind of took a liking to me.
Mm. So what were you feeling like as far as, I know you felt more acceptance, you kind of thought there was some type of love there going on, but was there anything in your heart, feelings you were going through, longing, any voids in your heart?
Yeah, well, I've seen my cousins and friends and people had a father in their life, and I really wanted that father-son relationship. My mom worked all the time. I knew she loved me, and I loved her, but I didn't feel a lot of love from my mom's family. I didn't feel a lot of love. I really even didn't know my father's family. I wanted a father-son relationship, which I didn't get. So I started getting that kind of, you know, people that showed that they cared about me were actually the people from the streets. So I became a gang member because of it, because of love, you know?
Yeah. Wow. And so as you started getting older, things started to escalate. Did you start getting into drugs, selling them, fights? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, like when I was 9 years old, my older brother committed suicide, and I started getting really angry, and I started to get involved in anything. I got involved with drugs, whatever the gang members wanted to do. We would fight in school, fight in the streets, and I started smoking weed when I was 9, started drinking when I was 9. I got arrested one time for stealing the car when I was 9, but actually I was just trying to find a place to sleep because I just didn't go home no more.
Mm. Gosh, I mean, 9 is just so young to be doing stuff like that. So here you were, time continues, and you're still involved with this gang. And did you start to feel a little bit invincible, like nobody could see you, like you're a tough guy?
I didn't start really feeling that until I got a little older. When I was young, I always said I was afraid of being afraid. I wanted to be that stand-up guy that everybody was looking at me to be, but I did have fears inside that I didn't want to show. So I did everything I could to suppress them, to hide them, to keep them from people seeing my fears.
Mm. So you're hiding your fears and trying to hide behind maybe being tough at that time.
Yes.
So at 15 years old, what brought you to the point where you had a gun in your hand and got into this situation with this person?
I got so deep into the gangs because when I was 11 years old, I was in a car accident, and some people I was really close to, they ended up dying.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the point where I felt like the church wasn't there for me, so I gave up on God, I gave up on family, I gave up on church, and the only people that were there were my friends, and I would watch how the older guys got so much respect from so many people by the things they did that I was willing to do just about anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted to do robberies, I was willing to do them. They wanted to shoot people, let's shoot them. Even though inside I felt bad, I didn't want to show nobody those feelings. So the anger, the frustration, the feeling alone, the wanting to be loved, you know, because like I couldn't get in the car and go down to man's house and hang out. I know they were there. They're good people. They're good Christian people. But I was different from them.
Mm. So you felt like alone and like an outcast at that time. And to fit in, you started doing these things. Take me to that time and what happened and where you went from that point to prison.
Well, I came back from Las Vegas. My mom sent me to Vegas to try to live with my dad, and he ended up doing a drug deal, got me arrested. They transferred me back to California. When I came back, I was lost. I was worse than when I left to Vegas, and I ended up going to a party. I got drunk. I went to a party, got really high, and then the next day, I was told that I killed somebody. Oh. It was just crazy. It was a crazy situation. I ran for the law. They caught me and they arrested me. Back in the day, I used to always talk about, you know, I was going to die with my rag on my head in the gas chamber. I was proud of that because that's how I felt what life was about. That's what I felt, that, you know, the more hardcore you were, the more people loved and respect you. Mm. And I didn't realize it was fear that they feared you. I thought it was love and respect. Mm. And so I tried to be the most hardcore guy I can possibly be growing up. When I got to the prison system, I was trying so hard to be the hard. And I held my own. I wasn't going to let somebody disrespect me or get over on me. But when I was alone in myself, the little boy came out, you know, I would cry. It was hurting inside. But outside the cell, you wouldn't know. I mean, there's people didn't even know how old I was. I wouldn't even tell people my age.
Wow. So you ended up going to prison. How old were you and how did they catch you?
Well, I was 15 when the crime was committed. They came to my house, and I remember the look on my mom's face and her eyes, her baby, you know, 15-year-old baby. And the cops come rushing through my door and arrested me. And they're telling my mom that they're arresting me for killing somebody. And I remember her screaming and crying, and they're taking me off to jail. They took me to juvenile hall first, but I was so lost that I managed to get kicked out of juvenile hall and sent to the county jail at a young age. And I had so much going on as far as hatred. And I started to really believe in my heart that I was going to be there forever. Mm-hmm. And so I was willing to do whatever it took to try to go up the ranks of gang life, you know, the gang life.
Wow. So even though you were caught and put into prison, you continued down the downward spiral. And, you know, Ignacio, there are people listening now who have just went through stuff like this. They went from one bad thing to another, and they find that, you know, I'm just going to make it all worse. I'm just going to throw in the towel and who cares? But really, this is their stopping point where God can help them and God can turn their life around, because we're going to find out how the Lord actually came into your life and changed everything for you. We're going to have you back on our next show. But until then, we're going to pray for those who are listening. Thanks for being with us.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, I think so many of us can really relate to looking for a father figure. I can totally understand at the age of 9, just desiring it. And where did he find it? He found it in the gangs. They were willing to give him something that looked like that father-son relationship.
Yeah.
I sense there's someone even listening right now, and maybe you haven't gone to the great lengths of joining a gang in order to find that type of relationship, but you're always finding yourself in that situation where you're longing for that. I have good news. You have a heavenly father.
Yeah.
His name is God. He loves you. He sent his one and only son to die on the cross for you. And you can truly come into a relationship with him, and he will have that real, perfect father-son relationship that you've been looking for. Mm-hmm. Jesus, we just call out to you. We ask for you to bring us to the Father and let us truly get to know the Father, Lord. So Jesus, we receive you, we believe in you, and we ask, Lord God, for a true encounter and a true father-son relationship with you. We ask for this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time to hear the rest of Ignacio's story.